The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Well, Black Friday is always a buying frenzy, but this year could be particularly chaotic. From IKEA sofas to Nike runners, blocked ports and lack of containers are leading to cargo chaos around the world. Just how bad is the situation and will it cause issues for your Christmas shopping? Siobhan O'Connell of Business Plus magazine is here, and also Graham Parker, VP of Digital Freight Sales at containers.com. You're both very welcome to the programme. Graham, if I could start with you, how bad is it out there globally?
It's pretty unprecedented, Richard. The last time I was here, we talked about the average freight rate going from $3,000 per container up towards $20,000 per container. And that really hasn't moved so much. But, you know, if you look at the major hubs like Long Beach, is, you know, 33% of the freight in the US comes in through Long Beach. You have 57 vessels waiting there right now. And the average wait time is up to 10 days. About 12% of the world's shipping capacity is now stuck outside these ports. So it's a huge issue.
And I'd imagine it's an issue for people who work on these ships, because they would have contracts of a particular duration and they're stuck out there for a lot longer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's kind of shone a light on that. And you know, when we were in the depths of the COVID crisis, you had crews that were, you know, stuck on ships for many, many, many months, some 90 days over. And, you know, I think
I heard one story of a captain doing somebody's teeth because they couldn't get on shore to get some dentistry work done.
Yeah, it's really bad. And, you know, even in Felixstowe, you see a lot of ships now being diverted out of Felixstowe. The port is practically full and they're being diverted to other ports around Europe. So that's going to have another knock-on effect to the high street retailers and the online e-commerce retailers in what's going to be a chaotic run up to Christmas.
And Siobhan, we've heard a lot about a shortage of truck drivers and labour shortages and some areas, but what are the kinds of things that this is really affecting?
Well, obviously there's raw material shortages. So with more and more people working from home, you know, looking around their apartments or their houses going, God, I hate that sofa, I hate that chair. You know, they're shopping online, but that means a demand for cardboard because all of these products that they're buying has to be delivered. So the demand for cardboard has surged. And so that's a kind of an issue. Then you've got construction and furniture companies. So they've seen boons in demand. And that means the likes of IKEA, huge company, that's having massive issues because of the global shortage in raw materials for their products. So their items, I've heard one lady was saying to me, she ordered a sofa in June and the latest delivery date is November. So, you know, it's having lots of knock-on effects. And then, of course, the biggest one of all is electronic goods. So electronic goods have been particularly challenged because of the whole shortage in semiconductors. They're the chips that go inside all the different electronic devices. So, you know, a shortage of microchips and supply chain issues combined is like a very potent mix.
And if anything, it's kind of shown us how potentially vulnerable we are to global supply chains. I know Tim Harford is writing in the Financial Times today about this, and he talks about how an average toaster has 400 parts.
Who
and if there's a problem with one of those parts, you know, it's back to bread and butter and no toast.
Well, it's the same with cars. I mean, I was talking to a car dealer just this week and he was saying to me that they could be selling five times the amount of cars they are selling if they had the cars in stock in Dublin to sell. And one of the big reasons for car shortages is, again, back to this chip thing, the technical thing, the semi, you know, which is delaying the whole delivery of cars into Ireland.
So, Graham, is this going to get worse? Because we're in the run-up to Christmas and companies are trying to advance buy more stuff in the run-up to that. Will it get worse before it gets better? Will it get better?
I think it will get better, but I think it will most likely get worse before it gets better. The inventory to sales ratio at the moment is at its lowest level since the mid-1990s. If you look at the world's largest warehouse operator, Prologis, they came out this week and said they are sold out globally. They are full. About 4% of the world's GDP passes through there. So, you know, you're starting to see warehouses as they've come back slowly from COVID and managed staff shortages as well. But warehouses are starting to overflow. So I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But
does it lead then to this idea of nearshoring, that companies will want to source things much closer to where they're based because they want to avoid these kind of risks in the future? Or is that a bit of wishful thinking? It won't really happen.
Well, I think, you know, global capitalism is such that global capitalists are always going to source their product from the lowest, cheapest, for want of a better word, market. And currently that is China and countries adjacent to China. So unless that changes, it's hard, you're hard to see how the other elements are going to change. But the bigger issue, Richard, is as consumers, we have to ask ourselves, are these delays that we have to get used to? Because we've got used to ordering something yesterday and having it tomorrow. And, you know, are our global expectations going to have to change? Because unless we expand the whole global supply chain, modernise our railways, increase the number of trucks on the roads, add the number of containers that are out there. Unless that all expands, I don't really see, albeit when COVID normalises, how our expectations as consumers...
Or we could just buy a lot less.
Well, do you know what I think we could do? I think if we just cancelled Christmas, you know, that would be... In one drastic action, wouldn't that sort out the supply chain?
Far too grinchy, and I don't think you'd be getting...
Or maybe make Christmas every 4 years, like the Olympics.
You won't be getting a job as the head of the World Trade Organization anytime soon with that. Graham, places like the United States, you know, it's logical for them to say, well, instead of sourcing so much of these materials and everything from Southeast Asia, let's look at Mexico. But I presume all of that takes time, doesn't it?
It's hugely complex. And if you have a supply chain that is sourcing a lot of your raw materials and products in Asia, like Siobhan said, at the cheapest common denominator in China, it's incredibly complex. If you take the toaster example and you have 400 different pieces or parts going in there, to find vendors in Mexico for each one, to test each vendor, it's a multi-year process, really, to nearshore. Like the iPhone is another great example. You have this incredible ecosystem in the Pearl River Delta in South China, where dozens of these parts that go into the iPhone are sourced. To replicate that anywhere else in the world, even if you could do it from a cost point of view, just to get the parts in Mexico and anywhere else,
but even cheap items that are cheap to buy can be complex. Again, in the FT, they're talking about the family tree of the pencil. You need cedar wood, and that requires axes, saws, motors and railway. You need graphite from Sri Lanka mixed with Mississippi clay, sulfuric acid, animal fats and numerous other ingredients just to make a pencil. But do you think then ultimately, Graham, that, you know, I'm thinking about the cost of goods and you're talking about the cost of shipping and containers. How will this feed into the costs? And surely even when the supply cruxes sort of ease up a little bit, costs might not come down that quickly. Prices of things may stay high.
I think it will. I mean, again, if you look at the cost of a container pre-COVID for the previous decade, it would have averaged a couple of $1,000s, and now it's above $10,000. And that has to feed into, you know, when you go to the shop to buy goods at Christmas time. And it is going to take quite a long time to come down. Siobhan talked about, you know, making the ports and the railways 24 hours. There's costs associated with that. There's infrastructure costs. And I don't think we'll see the costs come down for quite a while.
And even if you make the ports 24/7, well, that has to feed through to the retailers, that has to feed through the truckers for it to work. And if you look at for the retailers, it costs twice as much now to stack their goods on these mega containers. And that's why in the US we're looking at consumer price inflation, looking at over 5% for the last 6 months.
And it may even continue and get worse. Siobhan O'Connell of Business Plus and Graham Parker, VP of Digital Freight Sales at containers.com. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.